Are you turning the video on so you can see us?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Hold on. Hang on. Too many buttons to press. Oh, hello, done it again. There we go, right. We're in. Yes, we can see you, you can see us.
Are we ready to go?
We're good to go, we're good to go. Good morning, good morning. Lovely to see
okay,
you.
Good morning. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm so sorry, and I do apologise for not being able to come this morning, but yesterday, Saturday, I was putting my cricket shoe into my cricket bag to get ready to play cricket. And as soon as I bent down, I went into a muscle spasm. It was a slight muscle spasm. And then I went to the clinic at 10:15, and he did some kind of massaging. And then I was still hoping to come. And then last night, it went into a really severe spasm and I couldn't move. So if I sound dozy, it's because I've had morphine, diazepam and painkillers. So that's where I'm at. But first of all, I just want to say an incredible thank you for your prayers and support. I am a bit emotional today, so if I end up crying, you know why. I'm really, really grateful for your prayers and your support. And just to update you, I'm really, really excited to inform you that we are starting a new ministry in Pakistan, and that is to support women who suffer. And we have now two young ladies who will work alongside me to do this ministry. One name is Neelam, and the other is Mihak. And I'm hoping, God willing, that next year Mihak will come to England. I'm trying to invite her to come and do some ministry, to meet people, and hopefully, God willing, we may be able to come and see you guys. So do pray for that ministry. You know the situation of women in Pakistan. For the last 2 years, I've been looking for somebody who will get alongside them, minister to them, love them and care for them. Because, you know, they're very downtrodden, the majority of them. They really suffer lots of poverty and difficulties. So that's a really, I'm really excited about that. And please, please do pray for that ministry. Now, the last year or so, I've been kind of thinking, what is in God's heart? What does God see? What is God looking at when he looks from heaven and sees this, sees his people? And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, we read this. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So here we get an amazing glimpse of the heart of God for his people. And I want to read some scriptures that gives us a glimpse of God's heart for what he feels for the poor, the suffering, and the persecuted. In Proverbs 21, verse 13, it says, whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. And Isaiah 58, feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as a bright moon. And then in Psalm 82, verses 3 to 4, the psalmist says, defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. deliver them from the hand of the wicked. And then in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31, it says, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. So the one thing we discover about the God we believe in, he loves the poor and the needy and the oppressed. In fact, God's word tells us in Proverbs 28, verse 27, those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. And you know, brothers and sisters, it's a real joy and a blessing, and we receive the favor from God when we show kindness and compassion to the poor and the marginalized. When we show kindness, when we are generous to the poor, what we are doing is we are helping them to see and experience the love of God. And in the New Testament, Jesus reaffirms God's heart for the poor and tells us how we are to care. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 to 18, it says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And I'm so thankful to Bondi Church and Simon, all of you guys, because of our ministry in Pakistan, it's not just about speech. We are doing actions. We are providing ministry, helping God's people with food packages and all kinds of things. And in this verse, we're reminded that if we have material possessions and see someone in need, but have no pity on him or her, the love of God cannot be in us. What an incredibly challenging verse. And in James chapter 2, verses 15 to 16, we read, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? We are called to love not with words, but with actions. And we are to love others like Christ loved. And you know, when we love like Christ loved, we are serving Christ himself. Sometimes, you know, when we all go through the storms of life, whatever way it may be, we sometimes wonder if God sees our struggles. Does he feel our suffering? One family Simon and myself visited while we were in Pakistan was this family who lives in one very small house. And they only have one room. And she has four children and she lives in poverty. But thank God that we were able to support her by giving her food packages. I wonder if she ever feels like many people feel today. Does God see my suffering? Does he really understand my struggles and what I go through. What I discovered, brothers and sisters, in my own life, is that throughout Scripture, God is seen as a compassionate Father who sees, who hears, and responds to the cries of his people. The reading I read earlier on from Exodus reminds us of three things that reveal God's heart for his people. Firstly, he says, I have seen the misery of my people. This is amazing, because what it's telling us is that God sees the suffering of his people. This means he sees what each one of us go through. Psalm 34 verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears attentive to their cry. Secondly, we read this, I have heard them crying out. So not only does God see the affliction and the suffering and the pain of his people, but he also hears the cry of his people. So when we pray in the midst of the sufferings, in the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the confusion, or whatever we're going through in life, this reminds us that God hears our cries. In Psalm 34, verse 17, we read, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them from all their troubles. And thirdly, it says, I am concerned about their suffering. And this kind of gives us a glimpse that God is moved. He's concerned when we are going through the storms of life. We read in Psalm 103, verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And this verse reminds us of the nature and the character of the God that you and I believe in. And just as God cared for the suffering of the Jews, he cares about each one of you here today. Never allow the lies of Satan to say to you, God doesn't love you. God doesn't hear you. God is not concerned about you. They are lies from Satan. And throughout God's word, you know, God is seen as a compassionate Father who sees, who hears, and responds to the cries of his people. Whether we are facing physical, emotional, or spiritual suffering, I want to say to you, you can be rest assured, 100%, that God is aware of our pain. He's not distant. He's not disengaged from human suffering and pain. He's absolutely concerned about you. And his desire, his passion is that he wants you to draw near to him, that he can draw near to you. He wants to be part of your life, and he wants to journey with you in the times of joy and in the times of sorrow. It is so important, brothers and sisters, to recognize that while God sees our struggles and pains, he may not always remove them immediately, but we can be assured that God is with us, he will never abandon us, and he will do right according to his purpose, according to his will, and according to his time. And one of the verses that really, I think, sums up the heart of God is Psalm 34, verse 18, where the psalmist says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit." This truth about who God is will comfort us and remind us that God is not far away. He is near. He's ready to comfort us, and he's ready to mend our broken heart. In the New Testament, God's awareness of suffering comes through the life and the ministry of Jesus. God is so incredible and amazing that he himself became a man in the person of Jesus. And in the life of Jesus, he experienced suffering, persecution, and all those kinds of emotions. In Matthew 9, verse 13, it says about Jesus, when he saw the crowds, when he saw Bodley Chapel, he had compassion on them. When he sees us, his heart is full of compassion. Then in Jesus' time, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were harassed and they were helpless, and they were like sheep without a shepherd, going nowhere in life. The way Jesus loved and cared reveals to us God's heart for the broken, for the weary, for the suffering, and for all those who go through the storms of life. And I've discovered that when we are struggling and going through a difficulty, we will find peace when we know in our hearts, in the depths of our inner being, that God is our ever present help in times of trouble. He alone is our source of hope. And he affirms that no pain or trial is beyond his notice or care. What an amazing God we have. God in Christ demonstrated his love for the poor by meeting physical needs and also spiritual needs. And we see that, don't we, when Jesus fed the 5,000 and when he healed the woman who'd been bleeding for over 12 years. Many Christians today, as you know, they suffer in various ways, from persecution, poverty, injustice, depression, all kinds of struggles, all kinds of illnesses, but also, let me say, mental health. If anyone says to you that Christians should not have mental health, I have to control my anger. Because Christians do struggle with mental health. That is the reality of living in this life. And we have to make sure that we love those who may be struggling mentally. Sometimes God uses his people to care and love and look after. You know, brothers and sisters, let me say this. When you hug or speak kind words or help practically, what you are doing is touching their lives and bringing joy into their lives. And in fact, when you do this, it's actually God doing it through you. I believe we are living in very difficult times. And it seems to me that the coming of Jesus is drawing nearer each day. I don't know how you feel, but I feel time is really speeding up. Every year seems to come so quickly. So in light of that, as the family of God, we need to do everything we can to love and care for each other. Put aside all the differences and this and that, and make sure that we are loving each other, saying kind words to each other, encouraging each other and blessing each other. And especially I want you to pray, encourage and keep on supporting our brothers and sisters in Pakistan. You know, when our hearts are filled with love and compassion, we reflect the love of God. And when we understand the sufferings of Christ, we will find peace and healing in our own suffering. And we'll be able to lift up our hearts to God in praise and worship, even when life is stormy. Now, if we're honest, any kind of suffering is very unpleasant. I don't like suffering. Last night, I cannot tell you how painful my back was. I couldn't move. I was nearly in tears. I didn't know what to do with myself. It was terrible. But I've discovered in my own life that suffering produces character. And it helps you to grow spiritually. And suffering also takes you into an incredible intimacy with Christ. And it also gives us a glimpse of the sufferings of Jesus himself. Although the pain of suffering and whatever difficulty we go through can sometimes be unbearable. I know in 2018 when my mum died of heart attack, the pain was unbearable. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was crying so much, I was banging the wall, but I didn't know what to do with the pain. But I also know that in the pain, when we draw near with Jesus, when we draw near to Jesus and cry out to him, we will experience something of his amazing love and comfort. And we know that it was on the cross and the suffering of Jesus that demonstrated how much he loves us. Suffering, poverty, whatever we go through is a testing of our faith. It may be hard, it may be really difficult and sometimes really hard to cope with. But Paul the Apostle, who experienced incredible sufferings, reminds us that the suffering we now face are nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. Brothers and sisters, life is hard. But no matter what happens in the world, no matter how bad things get in the church or even in our lives, I want to encourage you to stand firm in the faith, knowing and believing that God is with us in our sufferings and trials. And whatever we face today and in the future, let us make sure that we are pressing on. Our lives are full of thanking God for his incredible grace and mercy and loving care. And with confidence, we can say what Paul the Apostle said, "For I'm convinced that neither death, neither life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, or nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." You know, we, without a shadow of a doubt, we are living in very dangerous times. And I think it's going to get even more tricky in this world, and especially in this country. Whatever is happening, whatever Satan is doing, we must always remember that wonderful truth that God is present within us through the Holy Spirit. And he is working and doing a new thing in our lives and around the world. God sees. God knows everything. And therefore is aware of everything that is happening in our lives. And we can be assured that in the darkest times, we will find solace, peace, and strength because of that truth. God is with me. And I want to encourage you as I finish. When we are in a dark place, when we are going through difficult times, we are never alone. God is always with us. And therefore, let us, in the power of the Holy Spirit, do everything we can to reflect that presence of God. And one of the ways we can do it is by loving each other, by supporting each other, by caring for each other, and helping the poor and the persecuted, just like Christ does today and has always done. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I hand over to Simon, I just want to give you a few minutes. If you have any questions that are burning in your heart, please be open, please be honest, and let's see what God is saying to us today.